Mark Borcher joins us now from an undisclosed location somewhere in the desert. You can follow him on BaseWinner, BaseWinner.com, and of course the BetUS baseball betting show that he does four times a week. Mark Borcher joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Mark, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Gil. Can we talk a little bit about the Reds? I really enjoyed your breakdown yesterday. I thought it was good, not just because you were kind of gloating, because you kind of were, and you kind of were sticking in Fezzik's face. I love that. But you
that
actually,
part I was
in all seriousness, you got into a little bit of the detail about why you took the Reds, how you took the Reds, and I thought that was really interesting. And so, I don't know if I've ever talked to you about this on the show, but I do Monte Carlo simulations based on current lineup for the month.
Ooh.
And so I wanted to run it.
Please.
To kind of see, you know, how the Reds were looking.
This is exciting.
And they're actually now you can say what you want about my ratings, because I mean they are my ratings and I do it a certain way. But
well, I want to hear what the results are before I say what I want to say about them.
Okay. So I've got the Dodgers with a 46% chance to win the month right now.
Makes sense.
And so they should be priced 115. Next team should be the Yankees with a 22.7% chance, and then the third team is the Reds at a 7.75% chance. So that's taking the ratings into account, and also the quality of the opponents as well, Gil.
I love it. And that's why 35-1 was the bet for me, right? That makes sense. I said it yesterday. Are the Dodgers the favorite? Absolutely they are. By the way, this is our March, April most wins update. We'll just throw this up on the screen. So this is on the Caesars and DraftKings markets was March, April. Dodgers are 8-2, Brewers 8-2, Yankees 7-2, Reds 7-3. So those are the actual standings, right, that exist currently in Major League Baseball. Those are the only four teams that have won at least seven games. As far as April itself, it is a logjam, six-way tie at 4-1. Dodgers, Padres, Phillies, Pirates, Brewers, Reds. But that, what you're saying there makes perfect sense to me, right? Like a bet is a bet. A bet is... because if you run the simulation 1,000 times, whatever it is, this ends up being a plus EV wager. And that's why I bet them. And the schedule is just so favorable that even a team that is not nearly as good as the Dodgers, like the Cincinnati Reds, have a shot at this and therefore the bet. The Dodgers are just they are absolutely ridiculous here in the early going. This is interesting.
Because, hitting's been tremendous, just unbelievable. But I did want to say, so I'm patting you on the back because I think that was a good play, but you have been very lucky. And how do I do luck?
Yes.
And so I do this thing on my site. It's called MLB expected standings, and it's fun, especially early, because there's like a big gap. So the Reds are 7-3 in a standard standings, you know, situation. But if you're looking at their component stats, so I do weighted runs created plus, xFIP minus, and defensive runs saved. Well, weighted runs created plus, they're third from the bottom, Gil. The Reds are. It goes Rockies, Giants. The Giants have been bad too, and then the Reds. xFIP minus, nothing to be ashamed about with the Reds. They're a 98 xFIP minus, defensive runs saved minus 5. So put that into the equation, and expected wins is 3.3, expected losses 6.7. They are the luckiest team in baseball, Gil. And sometimes, you know what? It's better to be lucky than good. And I'm all for that. Give me some luck, right?
By Pythag, they should be 5-5, not 7-3, right? With a +2 run differential, at least in the month of April. And they're right around zero for even if you do March, April. So they should be 5-5. But there's no question. Listen, that's the thing about these baseball bets. When you're doing the monthlies, right, some luck is going to the good or to the bad is going to seep in, but it is a short, you know, it's a short runway, small sample size. So luck, if luck smiles on you, it's why you ought to be betting the long shots. It's why preflop on the Dodgers, even though the Dodgers might make the most sense. It's probably not a bet you should make because luck can frown upon them, right? Whereas in the season longs where the Guardians went against us, however games over 500, they were 14 games above 500, I believe it was, with a negative run differential. Those are the ones where you're like, wow, I cannot believe 162 games didn't flatten that luck, if you will, over the course of the long haul. Those are the ones where you really are lucky or unlucky.
Well, plus it's a really enjoyable bet. So I'm glad that, you know, this didn't exist when we started 20 years ago. In fact, I think it's only been like 5 years they've had it. It's a cool market.
Only 2 years, I think. This is only the third year of it, I believe. So,
okay, yeah. You did really good the first two years ago. Yeah. And so I thought, well, hell, I'll simulate the damn thing. And I was remiss. I usually put a post out on Twitter a couple days before the start of the month, and I didn't do it this year. And I'm pissed because the thing really liked the Yankees. I'm past posting now, but they really liked the Yankees. That was the one that had value, even with their price. So yeah. It's a fun market. One other thing I wanted to say about the expected standings, because this is an interesting stat. The D-backs have saved 18 defensive runs in 10 games. And this is why it's so wild, you know, first part of the year. That's 1.8 runs per game. That's a hell of a head start from a run suppression standpoint. And usually that evens out. But I thought that was very interesting.
No, that's amazing. This is why you and I and everybody else who loves baseball so much. Because you can't really get this granular, quite this granular on any other sport. What did you land on today?
Okay, so I'm talking about how much I love my own expected standings page. I'm going to tell you, I made a mistake, and this is one of the things from a technical standpoint that makes baseball a little bit difficult to do. So I run the default lineups, usually do it every day. And on Sunday afternoon, I ran the default lineups, had them in there, and I put my card out overnight. So overnight, I put out the Mets in a parlay, and I was listening to our boys on that procedure show. I'm trying to think of the name of the
Jensen
show,
and Lewis
I can't do it.
And Dave Ross by the books.
By the book. Okay. So he was saying, oh, Soto's out of the lineup. And I said, oh, crap, I better take him out of the lineup. But it's interesting because I had the game priced overnight at -220, take Soto out of the lineup, still have it with value against the Diamondbacks at -185. But it's amazing how much of an impact it went from a 69% probability to a 64% taking Soto out of the lineup. And it would make sense. Soto best base winner runs created number versus right-handed pitching at a 9.07. The next guy is Kurtz, and he's like at an 3.4, something like that. So there's almost a full run difference there. And I thought, okay, you know, that you always wonder, well, how much is removing a guy? And it usually doesn't make that big of a difference. But in Soto's case, it was a good 5% on that particular line, Gil.
Okay. So what did you bet today?
So I went with the Mets. I kept with my parlay. I still value. I've got it priced at -185. And I went with the Yankees, too. The Yankees, I've got it -236. It's in the market right now, -230. It really changed overnight. I'm thinking it was closer to 200 on the overnights, but that's my parlay. Got to get hot on this parlay. I think this is the day, Gil. Mets, Yankees, risk one to win 1.52. And then I'm going to take a shot with the Red Sox. They've been super disappointing for me. I had them in a series bet. They won the first game on Friday, lost the next two. But I'm going to go with them again with Crochet. I've got Crochet rated third. And I like Mizorowski. I've got him rated 26. This is out of 150 pitchers.
Okay.
But I've got the suppression number on Crochet is about 20 points better than Mizorowski.
Got to run, Mark. Thank you.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland, producer number 9. So much more than a producer. So much more. A. Brown on Twitter. Drew says, Irad Ortiz is the best trainer if you don't already know. As if all listeners aren't already very familiar with Irad. Who does he think we are, a bunch of normal people? Chris Heath, hearing a lot of fits. I backed him, Cam Young and Fleetwood, all at 22.5-1, and Adam Scott at 85-1. Also, Patrick Reed, top 20, +150. I have $244 rolling for a potential payout of $1,150. I like when people are specific about their numbers.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, the numbers, guys. Regarding Michigan basketball, how long before the cheating scandal news comes out? So messed up. So So messed up, and yet, oh, just a kernel of everybody's sort of like, wouldn't be, yeah, sure. Not that we know anything. Uncle Bush, another for the list. Has anything ever been with further ado, or is it only without further ado? Oh, that's a very good point. Everything's without further ado.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's another good one.
Never say with further ado. It's a good one. Thank you. Appreciate it. One last thing I left out of the whole, you know, last time Michigan, since they bring up Michigan again, last time Michigan won the national championship, 1989, I mentioned Glenn Rice. Like, I don't even remember Glenn Rice hitting a rim on any of his shots that entire tournament. Everything was splash.
Well, Michigan made up for it last night, though.
You know, of course, the greatest Glenn Rice detail from his time at Michigan besides the national championship.
What's that, Gil?
Do you know that he, how can I put this? I'll use the phraseology, hooked up with Sarah Palin. Do you know this?
No, I did not.
1987. Yeah, 2 years before that, Michigan had a game up in Anchorage, Alaska. It's a true story. Google it. But don't Google it now because Rick Gaiman joins us to talk Masters.
Yeah.
Yes. We always love hearing from Rick each and every year.
He's heading out there.
Golf data analyst at CBS Sports and, of course, rickrungood.com at rickrungood on Twitter. Wait a minute. You're going to the Masters, Rick?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's always a privilege. You never just guarantee you're going to go. So this is three straight years for me. It's a special place. It lives up to every expectation and then some. Everything you've heard is absolutely true, guys. This is our Super Bowl. I'm excited to be here with you.
Wow. Okay. Because I asked Matt Brown about this on the podcast yesterday. Because Matt opened the podcast wanting everybody to know that he's been to the Masters because he's a superior human being than all of us. But I asked him. I was like, "Would you go a second time?" He was like, "No. That's not your opinion. You go as often as you can."
That is factually incorrect to not go a second, third, 23rd time. I mean, it's the only place in the world where, you know, nobody has their phones out. You're watching the greatest spectacle of the sport that I love. I mean, I would go every second of every day if they allowed me. It would never get old.
Like a middle of July on a Wednesday, Rick's out sleeping on the fairway in Augusta. Okay, real quick, let's put a pin in the Masters thing for 1 second. Before we move on from this, obviously Michigan wins the national championship last night. You do this thing every year with brackets, and I find it fascinating. Can you explain your approach and how successful you've been?
Yeah, so the approach is very simple. The actually clicking the buttons when you care about college basketball becomes more difficult. So all you are doing is basically looking at the odds, looking at the chances for each team to advance in each round. And then you're comparing that to what people are actually picking. And then you're doing the opposite, right? It's essentially game theory. It's not hard, but you have allegiances in college basketball, it becomes very difficult and people want to pick who they think is going to win. I don't have any of those allegiances. I don't care. I don't know who's playing. I don't know any of the players. And it ends up being pretty successful, right? So Michigan winning it all was very good for us this year. That was a 99th percentile bracket. We've had I've done this for 7 years. I think we've had over 98 percentile brackets now three or four times. Last year, I think we had Houston winning it all. I think they were leading that championship game with like a minute to go. So sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. But any time the most popular champion wins, I'm not going to have a good year.
Okay, there it is. It's that simple.
Mm-hmm.
Just look at percentages. Look at the odds, go against it. All right, to the Masters. Outrights, what did we land on here, Rick?
Yeah, so I want to live near the top of the board, not necessarily exactly at the top of the board. I'm taking what I would consider a little bit of flyers, considering the Masters usually gives us a great champion. So Cam Young to start. Ever since you guys has exclusively started playing this draw, this right-to-left shot, he's turned into a completely different player. That is the valuable shot around Augusta National. That is the one that is going to allow you to cut some corners, to kind of get the proper spin, to drive the ball even farther. And he's playing some of the best golf we've seen in the world right now. He's our player's champion. So right there, starting with Cam Young. And then I also backed it up with Ludvig Åberg. And I'm a little bit worried, guys, about the way he finished at the Players. I'm a little bit worried about some of his Sunday finishes, but he is long and straight off the tee, and he is off to one of the best two-year starts in Masters history. He's already solved this place in just 8 rounds.
Wow. Okay. Are we limiting it to those two outrights, or do you do more than that?
For now, okay. I'm comfortable adding another one, but I've lived much more in the finishing position markets. You know, the Patrick Reed, top 10, for example. I want upside into Patrick Reed. I want upside into guys like maybe it's Jake Knapp or Chris Goddard, maybe in that like debutante market for Goddard. But right now it's just those two outrights. I'm willing to fire a third. I'm just not committed to it yet.
All right, let's talk about some of those placement markets. Reed top 10, you said. Are you betting Goddard up to a debutante? Is that official?
Goddard up and Penge would be my two favorite in that department. Goddard up, he's got ice in the veins. He's a multiple time winner this year. I think that he hits it far enough to get around here. And then Penge is a little bit more of a flyer. So those would be the two in the top debutante market. But yeah, I mean, listen, Patrick Reed has the fourth best strokes gained at the Masters since 2019. Guys, that does not even include his win.
That's
he won
amazing.
This in 2018. Yeah. So he's the fourth best player here and does not include his victory. So he's on the card. And then the top 20 machine that is Corey Connors also found the card in a finishing position.
RickRunGood.com. That's the website. I use it every single week when I'm betting golf. You should too. Rick, I will ask you, you do a great statistical breakdown every single week for golf. What is the stat, the single stat to you that matters the most for the Masters this week?
I'll play along. It'll be scrambling. If I can narrow it down to just one thing, it's something around the green. Mm-hmm. We hear Patrick Reed talk about this. These are the most difficult short game areas in the world. Not only do you have to have the proper trajectory, you also have the proper spin. You also have to have the proper shot shape, guys. You're going to have to draw a chip. You're going to have to cut a pitch. You're going to have to do it to access these pins and give yourself a chance to make par when par is going to be a good score. We are at a historically low accumulation of rain in Augusta, Georgia this year. They've had 8 inches of rain. Okay. This year, it's going to be one of the driest years ever. It's going to be firm. It is going to be fast. You are going to miss these greens. Getting up and down is going to be absolutely critical.
What number would it require for you to play Scottie Scheffler here pre-flop?
I think we're getting pretty close. So I'm seeing him around 5-1 right now. I would take 6, I think is where it's at. Although I am historically higher on Scotty in most scenarios. Don't let anybody tell you he hasn't had a fantastic year. He has. His distance control with the irons is second to none. His short game is fantastic. And you could even say, hey, maybe if he's had a down start to the year, it's dealing with new baby who just arrived 10 or 11 days ago. And I think Scottie Scheffler at Augusta National is a place where he gets to separate himself quite a bit. So we're getting there, guys. We're getting that Scottie drift.
Kid is so selfish. Doesn't he know it's the Masters?
I know, right? Brutal. I know.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say, we go through all these trends. We're going to go through more of them. And I have different opinions on them. Every year we get to the Masters, we hear all the trends for the winner. What they've done here at the past, what they've done recent form wise, which of these I mean more to you than others? Are there some that you kind of just scoff at every year and don't really matter?
Most of them I scoff at. I think the two, and I'm reading. Okay, so you've got one on here that I like, which is the driving distance one, and I don't know if you have it here. I'm trying to read them through. There's also one that correlates to OWGR, which mm-hmm. is like basically you're in the top 30 of the OWGR. No surprise that the best players win here, but they win more here at the Masters, better ranked players than any other major. The average over the last 6 or 7 years is like 6th in the OWGR. You've got to be a stud. And then distance really, really, really does matter. You can be a little bit wayward here and be just fine. As long as you're not super wayward off the tee, you're going to be great. Just go out there and bomb it. So those are the two that I think speak to it a lot more than other trends do.
45 seconds here, Rick. Give me the names of the golfers that you will have no position on, that you are fading, if you will, in this tournament.
Xander Schauffele just makes too many silly mistakes to start the year. Colin Morikawa dealing with the back and seems like he is honestly 50-50 to even play this golf tournament right now. And then probably Brooks Koepka, I won't have much of. I'm worried that the putter issues come back at a place where you've got to putt like best in the world.
All right, Rick Gaiman, golf data analyst, CBS Sports, but of course also a man who has cracked the code on NCAA brackets.
That's right.
It's that simple. Just follow Rick. Rick, enjoy the show. Sorry we couldn't get you video up so we could see you in your throne that we love so much.
That's okay. I'll be having a word with my ISP. Thank you guys so much. Really, really appreciate you.
Thank you, Thanks, Rick. Rick Gaiman, everybody, at Rick Run Good. and rickrungood.com.
Yes, great website. Well. Yep.
Let's talk some NFL draft on the other side. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Masters this week. Then, of course, the NFL draft, the Derby. Then, of course, the NBA and NHL playoffs are almost here as well. Final seeds are still being decided. Every game matters, and so does every bet. VSiN Pro gives you daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools and matchup analysis, plus 24/7 video and show replays. Get ahead of the playoffs now. Start today for just $9.99 for your first 30 days, or save 50% with an annual subscription. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Ladies and gentlemen, you may know him as the Bear. He works at Fox Sports. He was just on a global trip. It felt global. It was really in the Western Hemisphere. Let's not exaggerate. But he's been around and he's seen a lot of things. And, well, we'll just ask him what his favorite part was. But he's back now, firing on all kinds of sports. It's Chris Velik, everybody, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Chris? Good to have you back.
I'm well. I kind of missed almost the entire NCAA tournament. I left the Wednesday of the play-in game and came home yesterday morning. So I was home for the title game, but yeah, pretty amazing trip. Rio was an awesome place. Puerto Madryn in Argentina was a great place, beautiful scenery. Iguazu Falls, it was incredible. We caught a couple of really rough days at sea. People on our ship were just saying how what we had caught between Falklands and the back of the coast of South America was worse than what they encountered anything ever in the Drake Passage. So we lost a couple of days because there were gale force, 65, 70 mile an hour winds that did not allow the Zodiacs to come ashore at the Falkland Islands. So missed out on some sightseeing stuff, but it was an awesome trip and good to disconnect and kind of refresh here as we get back into Masters Week.
All right. And as soon as you touched ground, you were firing on all kinds of things. Before we get into some of those things, Drew was just on, our buddy Drew Dinsick, who you know very well, was just on talking Derby, and he was talking about a jockey decision. You're saying that decision has been made?
Yeah, Rad Ortiz Jr. is going to ride. He'll ride for Todd Pletcher and Mike Rapoli. That's out there. Johnny Velasquez, who's won the Derby a couple of times as well, he's going to ride further ado. So we'll see where Flavian Pratt decides to go and Luis Saez. But the two big dominoes there with further ado and Renegade kind of have fallen. So I think that does solidify Renegade's position as the favorite in the race. I think what Drew was talking about with Chief Wallaby is going to be very interesting because he feels like the Bill Mott type of perfect horse, like really prepping to kind of peak the first Saturday in May. Obviously won it last year with Sovereignty, got put up with Country House a few years ago. I think Chief Wallaby is going to be a horse that you look at kind of like the point. You remember in the Champions League like last year, PSG finished like 17th or 16th and had to go through qualifying and they were low in the table, so their price really wasn't reflective as to how they were. I think Chief Wallaby might be a little bit forgotten about because he's like 19th on the point standings right now, but he's got a huge shot on Derby Day.
Okay. And your money will be on or is on?
Well, I hate saying the is because the price is no longer available. But
okay.
I have a Renegade future at 15-1 and he's going to be the favorite. So at least I don't have to worry about betting him. I'm probably going to have to see the way the field looks, but will there be enough speed on the front end? Will there be a slow pace? Will there be a lone speed type of scenario like we got with Medina Spirit a few years back? We'll have to see how it goes, but I can certainly see myself using Chief Wallaby very, very liberally in all three spots in the try.
Okay. All right. And Steve Fezzik, do not penalize. No fine for Chris Velika. I asked the question. He already has the ticket. That's my fault. Okay.
Sorry.
I
hate giving out stuff that's no longer available.
Yeah, no, I understand. Okay, so let's get to the Masters. We have you on early in the week, so we can get you on before the Masters. The 90th Masters begins, which, by the way, now we're at 90. I think I remember half of these now, which makes you feel very old. Where did you land, and how many outrights are you going with?
Well, I don't have any outrights right now, even though I see Scotty at plus 550. That seems like a number where that could be 3-1 or lower than that after the first round if he plays well. What I did play in terms of certain out markets that are available, like that, Kelly was alluding to this earlier in the show when I texted him. I said, why shouldn't I be unloading on Zach Johnson to be top senior at -102 available at DK? You look at the group that he's in, you're looking at Angel Cabrera, Fred Couples, Mike Weir, Jose Maria Olazabal. Like these guys, well, Vijay Singh, like each of those other players besides Zach are -400 or longer to miss the cut. Zach Johnson finished in the top 10, I believe, last year. He's got a couple of made cuts on the PGA Tour this year. He's done very well in the Seniors Tour. I could see him being the only one that makes the cut here. And like, I thought that was a great bet. I played Xander Schauffele at FanDuel +105 to finish the top 10, including ties. Outside of his first go around at Augusta, the only time he has not finished in the tower, I should say, he's finished the top 10 a bunch. I was fast forwarding to another bit, but yeah, +105, top 10, including ties, I think is a really good bet. I think it's the last 3 years he's been in the top 10 since missing the cut. Really good form. And then the other bet that I was kind of leading myself into, again, I know people can have their opinions on parlays. But this one, I think something has to go very, very wrong to lose. It's a two-legged parlay. It's available at DraftKings. You can parlay Scottie Scheffler, Xander Schauffele to finish in the top 20, including ties, and that comes out to 110. Scottie has never not finished in the top 20 at Augusta. Xander, as I was saying, the only time he has not finished in the top 20 outside of the first time he played the event was the year he missed the cut when he was hurt with the bad back. Something's got to go wrong to see either one of those guys not finish in the top 20. So I thought that was a good bet at -110 for both to finish in the top 20. Cam Smith to miss the cut at +196 at FanDuel. I just don't know if he cares anymore. He missed the cut in every major last year. He's missed the cut in 5 straight majors. His form isn't necessarily great. Nearly 2-1 on a guy to miss the cut there. Look, usually you got to try hard if you're a class player to miss the cut there just because the field is so small. But I think Cam Smith is a guy who if I can get nearly 2-1 on him to miss the cut, I'll take my chances there. And then 2 matchups I played Tyrrell Hatton +110 against Shane Lowry. That's a FanDuel. Hatton early in his career did not play the Masters very well, but 3 of the last 4 years he's finished in the top 20, top 10 last year, top 15 the year before that. Shane Lowry is a guy who does not have a ton of great finishes at Augusta National, and his form since really giving that golf tournament away, I think it was the Arnold Palmer a few weeks back, has not been great. So Tyrrell Hatton +110 against Shane Lowry, and then Patrick Reed, -138 against Brooks Koepka at FanDuel. I heard one of your other guests talking. I couldn't remember which one it was, talking about Patrick Reed not really wanting a whole bunch of Brooks Koepka on his card. Patrick Reed's form at Augusta has been fantastic. And then Brooks is kind of 2 men without kind of a tour right now. But Reed has been fantastic. And I'm in agreement looking to kind of fade Brooks Koepka here.
Wow. Very thorough. Okay. So I have 2 follow-up questions. One, I'll bring Kelly in for this. Who was the golfer that Chris brought up? We were like, oh my God, I haven't even thought about
Zach
that.
Johnson, Zach Johnson, top senior. Right? I think I'll be joining Chris on this one. It is not one that I had really thought about, but as I texted Chris, I let everybody down on our Champions Tour coverage here every single week, but yeah,
unbelievable, inexcusable.
I know. It's just a failure on my part, but quality finishes so far, top 5 and everything that he's done, Champions Tour, and I'm with you, Chris. I don't think there's much to get excited about with those other seniors, so I will. I think I'll be joining you there, and yeah, I haven't bet it yet either, but I'm going to be with you on Xander top 10.
Zach Johnson, top senior, or as Matt Brown calls it, top old.
Yeah.
And top past old champion.
Yes.
I mean, look, if Angel Cabrera just happens to make the cut and beat me 2 years out of prison in Argentina or Venice, wherever it was, fine. So don't be. I'll take my chances.
All while smoking a cigarette on the course. All right. And then the last thing, because I always love the last thing on the Masters, because I always love asking this question of folks, and I haven't asked it on the show today of anyone, but I'll ask it of you, which is, who's the golfer that wins this that creates the most self-loathing in you that you're like, I thought about betting him, but I never got around to betting him?
I'd say probably Cam Young, because I haven't bet him and I haven't gotten any of the good numbers. And now he feels like he's one of those real trendy guys. I hate hopping on those guys at worse numbers than were available. So I'd say Cam Young is probably that guy.
Okay. Chris, hang out. College football, your bread and butter. We'll talk some bets that you've made. And the NFL draft just over 2 weeks away. Got some thoughts on that as we're ramping up. Chris Felica, the Bear. You can follow him on Twitter at Chris Felica, F-A-L-L-I-C-A. Coming back on A Numbers Game at Beeson, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Once again, breaking news, the Masters tees off on Thursday, and the VSiN High Stakes Masters Challenge on Splash Sports is your chance to prove you know this field better than anyone. It's a $500 entry, $100,000 guaranteed fantasy tiers contest built specifically for golf bettors, and this just in, we have the tiers. Oh-ho! Here's how it works. You draft six golfers, one from each tier of the field. Your top five scores count. The lowest combined score across all four rounds wins. Your worst golfer gets dropped automatically, but missed cuts carry an 8-stroke penalty, so roster construction matters. Entry closes Thursday morning at 8 a.m., so do not wait. Head to splashsports.com/VSIN. Use promo code VSIN for a 50% deposit match up to $100, a free $20 quick picks entry, and a 100% quick picks boost. Just go to splashsports.com/VSIN and use promo code VSIN. We do have the tiers now. Maybe tomorrow on the show, we can dive into that.
Yeah, great contest. Get involved. Gil and I will go through who we would pick in each tier tomorrow.
That is correct. Boy, this, by the way, the whole time we've been doing this show, I've been compartmentalizing the tennis match we have bets on here.
You mentioned it like the first break. How is this match still going on?
This is a three set episode. Donna Vecchia, we're on Katie Valinets. I got her at minus 106 for subscribers last night. It was minus 132 this morning, which is too high to play. What could go wrong with CLV, right? So Vekic comes out, she wins the first set. Katie, our girl, she comes back, she wins the second set. Then Vekic goes up a break in the third. Valinets breaks back. Vekic goes up a break again, leads 5-2. And now our girl Katie has broken back. It is on serve in the third. We are down 4-5. We are still serving now to stay in the match, but we are on serve.
Okay.
On serve in women's tennis, not quite as powerful as on serve in men's tennis. So we're still...
You're like minus 500 to lose in a tiebreaker.
Oh, there's no question. There's no question about it. This is what happens to us.
I've seen it too many times.
Chris Felica joins us once again from Fox Sports. You may know him as the Bear. We just know him as Chris. How you doing, Chris? What's happening?
I'm well. Okay, Kelly's like minus 500 to lose in a tiebreak.
Yeah.
Shoot, I was going to say you're like minus 350 to get broken on and lose the match on a reserve.
It's no question.
But being I was gone and haven't had a chance to wind you up in a while.
Oh, here we go.
I think I speak for both Ben Wilson and myself. Actually, I'm joking, but I'm kind of I would love there to be some type of market. Some type of bet. What would the price be if I could bet Iva Jovic to be ranked higher than Iga Swiatek at the end of the year? Iga currently ranked fourth and falling amidst all coaching changes and mental issues, and struggling mental results. Issues.
And
really
young
up and comer, the 18-year-old Iva Jovic was ranked 16th. I wonder what kind of price I could get on Jovic to be ranked ahead of Swiatek at the end of the year.
I don't know, Chris, but just because of that, I'm going to send you a barrage of videos today of Rafa Nadal coaching up Iga Swiatek on clay just to prove my point that I don't like the question. How about that?
Rafa Nadal. I wonder if that's, the French Open could be a little bit more wide open, a little more wide open than usual. Just because of everything that's going on right now. She didn't win a last year, and now...
I don't know, man.
Interesting.
I don't know, man.
Or
If you see these, if you see these videos, because I think this is the smart thing that Ego did. I think Ego was like, you know what? Let me not act like I'm anybody. I am basically the female Rafa, right? Rafa won 22 slams, 14 on clay, 8 on hard and grass. Iga has won 6, 4 on clay, 2 on hard courts and grass. And I think she is leaning into this now finally where she's like, you know what? This is what I'm going to do. This is my idol. This is the guy that I'm like. Watch this. And so let's see. Let's see what happens. So no bet.
That's right. If that's a decision, that's a very wise, a very good way of going about doing it. It's very smart. You're really taking a lot more pressure off yourself at every single slam outside of Roland Garros.
Yeah. Iga and Sabalenka both plus 240 to win the French over at DraftKings right now.
Give me Iga.
Iva Jovic, 50 to 1. Just say it. Just say it.
Oh, she's not going to win. She's not going to win on clay.
50 to 1.
She's not going to win. Yeah, he said by the end of the year, though. That's interesting. Okay. Once Iga wins her 7th slam at Roland Garros, this won't be a discussion anymore. All right. Let's go to college football. Well, you made bets already. You landed on, you were on the tarmac in New York and you made bets. What do you have?
I did. I got accused of being, having an utter lack of focus, taking a vacation during the hoops tournaments. I just wanted to show everybody that I had immediate focus upon landing at JFK yesterday. I can't bet them in Connecticut. So immediately when I landed, got in the car and bet a couple of college football win totals over at FanDuel. I bet Florida State under 6.5 wins.
Great.
Early reports out of spring camp, the quarterback play has not been great. And getting Ashton Daniels as your quarterback, I don't know what you kind of expected with that. I think Sperry is the other kid that they have, and he's kind of I think Florida State has problems. You lose Gus Malzahn. I think there's a really good chance they don't win a road game this year. Your road games are Alabama, Louisville, Miami. And then BC and Pitt, like you could be 3-6 or whatever, 3-5 by the time you get to BC, and the season might be over. So in addition to that, you got the home games against SMU, Virginia, Clemson, Florida. Like, I don't see it this year, my man. I got under 6.5 on Florida State, and I am under 4.5 on Colorado. I go through Colorado's schedule. And I think this is a team that legitimately could win 2 games. Like, you got the game against Weber State, who you should win. But outside of that, your road games are Georgia Tech, Northwestern, Baylor, Oklahoma State, Arizona State, and Cincinnati. You may go 0-for there. Texas Tech, Utah, Kansas State, Houston, of the best teams in the Big 12, they're all at home. And then you get UCF at the end of the year. Like, 5 wins, I think it's going to be nearly impossible. They lost a ton of coaches. They lost Jordan Seaton, probably their best, definitely their best offensive lineman in the portal. Other players have left. But they had 2 generational players at the college level in Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter for Deion's first 2 seasons there. Last year, they weren't very good. I can't see them being any better this year. These are priced at like minus 140 or so. Look, I don't want to say I don't care about the laying a number like that. It's more about the actual win total than it is the price for me. But I look at that schedule. I don't know how Colorado is getting to 5. So I feel really, really good about both of these win totals. But this Colorado one, like if you could find an alt total, like under 3.5 at a better number, I'd even feel great about doing that.
Under FSU, under Colorado. What did you lay on volley nets to get broken to lose the match? What did you lay on that?
I'd lay 350 on that.
It cashed. Yeah.
Of course it did.
Of course it did. It's incredible. It's incredible. CLV store. Oh, worth man. Nothing. Okay. To the NFL.
I got a nice CLV trophy here for you, though.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it. I got so many. You see all those Emmys behind your head? I have 10 times the CLV trophies on this. Okay, your NFL draft thoughts or anything you've bet so far? You bet anything so far?
Yes, I have. It's starting to pop up in places far, far away. And Kalshi, I would suggest everybody look at Kalshi if you don't have any books that have a lot of draft props. There is a ton of stuff: exact pick, top 10 pick, first round, team to draft a player. I would examine those prediction markets if you're looking for a little early draft action before stuff gets posted at your legals and whatever other faraway places you may have. But three things that I did bet. I bet Zion Young to go in the first round at plus 120. I think he is an athletic freak. I think he is someone who you will see go in the first round. I bet TJ Parker from Clemson, who was kind of a disappointing season. But again, I think people will see his size, his measurables, kind of a guy who an NFL team get the most out of. That was minus 160. And then I took a chance on Caden Proctor, the big offensive lineman from Alabama, to go in the top 10 at around plus 490 or so. That was on Kalshi.
Wow.
Right now that is available. People look at his tape and aren't necessarily like, okay, what am I missing here? Like, it doesn't all add up. But I am told that there is a team in the top 10 who has done extensive research and extensive due diligence on Proctor, a team that needs offensive line help. So I thought Caden Proctor plus 490 was worth a flyer here to go in the top 10 at a nice price. You mentioned Monroe Freeling. I've heard mixed reviews on him. I think he's kind of fallen out of the top 10. So I might look to avoid that one. I know you guys were talking about that before I came on.
We have Caden Proctor, by the way, 6-1 here at DraftKings to go top 10. Is there a mock drafter that you trust more than the others, or you just do an aggregate?
I just kind of do an aggregate. I've known Todd McShay for 25 years, so I have a great relationship with him. So I pick Todd's brain. Daniel Jeremiah's mock, I think, is kind of the gold standard as well. So I kind of pick and choose between those two and then other people who I know have in intel with like certain teams or scout teams that have or scouting. Like Jeff Schwartz is tight with a lot of the offensive line coaches as well. So I kind of formulate an opinion with all those.
Derby, Masters, college football, NFL draft, and some EGA slander thrown in.
Love it. Great to see you, Chris.
And a CLV trophy as well. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, guys.